This is a reminder to keep yourself and your community safe. Call 811 before you dig, not 911 after. And get your dig site checked for underground infrastructure. It's the law. Learn more at coned.com/811. Con Edison. Everything matters.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fuck you, Jonesy. I made your mom come so hard they made a Canadian Heritage Minute out of it and Don McKellar played my dad.
Fuck you, Shorty.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame death party!
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
Listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am your host this week, though I'm not alone, finally. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd from, of course, this show and TerribleWarriors.com. I'm joined with...
Alex, who's not having to host the show 2 weeks in a row by himself.
Oh my God, thank you.
Here's the thing. I did it conversationally because I can't do the radio stuff that you do, like, I'm the Birdman Dodd, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I like wieners. Whatever.
I don't even know how I just do it. It just... comes out, I guess.
Yeah. It just, but for me, it's like I'm more of a conversational. I'm like, how do I do this? How am I popping between things? But you know what? It's not so bad. You know, you got your reviews ready and all that, and you've got your elements. The hardest part is not being able to bounce the news off of anybody.
Yeah, because you have to be able to dig it and pick it apart, but also not say the same thing over and over again.
So I just realized what I do is I read it and then just talk about how I feel on it and then move on.
Yeah, because that's how I did like nerd news for like 2 years was just. Okay, I got to keep things rolling here, and I got to keep out a weekly show.
So
it's a lot harder than like people realize, I think.
Basically, Casa de Dodd is no longer a plague zone, I'm able to come back, and everybody else can actually record.
Yeah, Blair has finally gotten over it. She has, I think she had walking pneumonia, but I guess she's over it now. She's on like some kind of a puffer or something. Our friend Tristan and Lacey. Lacey has it a lot worse than like anybody else. Tristan is just getting over it now, but he sounds like he can record finally.
His super sexy voice is back.
Yep, we will soon have more audio chocolate in this podcast. So yeah, everyone's finally healed up. I'm the only one that didn't get sick.
I realized I was not hit with the same thing that everybody else was.
You had a version of it, but you got over it fast.
Well, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
But 2.5 weeks, I got it, and then I came here. The next day, I was sick for 2 days. Or 1.5 days, and then everybody else died.
I felt run down a little bit. And that's probably about the worst I had, was just a little bit of, like, I don't feel so hot. But then I would sleep, eat some soup, and I was pretty much ready to rock and roll.
Well, I've had energy issues, too. Like, it's you know, trying to get through, you know, work and family stuff and all the time of year, it's been like, holy crap, it just kicked my butt.
Yeah.
Being out of commission for more than half of October, and then...
Chunks of November.
Chunks of November recovering. It's just, Hoy vey.
Oh, yeah. Totally hear you there. Which, actually, something kind of fun that me and Blair did this past week, because this past week was Cyber Monday, which means before that was Black Friday, which means before that was American Thanksgiving. Me and Blair decided to have ghetto-ass American Thanksgiving. We got one of those butterball turkey loaf things.
Oh, yeah.
And we had turkey, we had stuffing, we had, like, potato salad and, like, rolls or something.
Well, I saw the pictures you posted, and they look better than some people's dinners.
Which is not to say, you know, we're shaming you or anything.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, there are people out there that sometimes you have, like, a hunger man for the dinner for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And Thanksgiving's dinner is Thanksgiving dinner. But, you know, you think about it, it's like, Canadians don't usually celebrate it, but you did.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I wanted to feel cool, like my American friends.
I know our traditions are slightly different. Like, watching things like the Goldbergs, you see that they have, like, marshmallows and stuff. And
yeah.
Like...
Or the Macy's Day Parade.
No, but, like, just specifically their side dishes are a lot different from what we have up here.
Yeah, I mean, through my extended family, through Blair's side, I see a lot of really weird things. Like, they have Jell-O that has fruit in it or vegetables in it, which is really freaking strange.
Yeah, like you know how it's always turkey, right?
Yeah.
But up here, traditionally, it's turkey and ham, just like at Christmas.
Yeah. I can't have ham anymore, which, believe me, sucks. Because now I'm actually legitimately starting to miss it.
Oh, yeah? Because, like, well, you get allergic reactions to it, which yeah, is... And people, that's the thing. Every 7 years, your body can cycle through things, and you can tolerate different things.
Yeah, like, I can have a little bit of ham and bacon on my pizza, but as a whole, pork products, and I do not...
Basically, a ham steak or a slice is gonna be rough on your belly.
Exactly, which is so weird, because I wasn't like this, like, a year ago. And then all of a sudden, just, well, you know what, Mike, screw you.
But you've had a couple major health events in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So which, that can really change the way your body... processes things.
Yeah, which that's another thing that actually happened this past week. This week is the 1 year anniversary of when I got my leg amputated, and I'd say for the most part, I think I maintain a pretty good attitude.
Yeah, I mean, seeing you while I was in my self secluded away from the plague isolation, I saw, you know, you're going to go through the gambit of emotions. You're going to have your up moments, your down moments, and all that, because it was a freaky time for you.
Yeah, it really was. And going back, looking over some of my Facebook statuses, because if Facebook is good for anything, it's good for remembering things.
Oh, yeah.
Some good, some bad. And at this time of year, I was in the ICU, and it wasn't until, like, a few months ago, Blair told me, yeah, I could have died in the ICU from infection. And I'm thinking, wait, what?
She didn't tell you?
No.
She told me.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah. I had no clue. Yeah, Michael's really sick. He's got, like a blood infection. And I'm thinking, whoa, you just told me my leg got cut off, and I just... was gonna get out eventually, and then eventually they killed it with antibiotics. And
no, like, she told me you had sepsis.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I knew she didn't have to go. She didn't have to go in any more detail. And I was like, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, so I'm lucky I'm alive. So
thank
the Lord that I'm in good health.
Well, and that you watch yourself. That's the thing too. Like you didn't see the signs last time, and it crept up, and then bam.
Yeah, and even when I went to go see my optometrist a couple of weeks back, they were talking about my new glasses, and I've got some problems with my eyes right now. And the doctor's like, if you take care of it now, you'll be fine. Otherwise, you're going to need surgery for us to cauterize some bleeds in your eye, but you're doing okay.
Yeah, and a lot of this relates to...
diabetes.
Well, diabetes and then obesity, those combined are a dangerous cocktail.
Yeah, so if you learned anything from Birdman this last year, folks... take care of your diabetes, and for Christ's sakes, go to your doctor if you think anything's wrong.
Well, even if you don't think it's wrong, but if a loved one or a cared friend says you need to go to the hospital...
check the shit out, do it.
You do it. Even if you don't think you want to, if somebody else has the tact to say to you, I think you should go, take their word.
Yeah, exactly. There's probably something up. So now that's enough doom and gloom for this show. We're going to bring things into, well, I guess kind of a good place, if you will. So we got a lot of stuff coming up on the show this week. We actually have a couple of neat reviews for the show. We're going to kind of keep the same formula we've been doing of having three reviews during the show. Our first review is going to be something from Alex.
Yeah, we're going to have... well, I've got a couple ones coming up.
So you got, like, Persona or something?
Well, I was going to say, it depends on how we want to order it. You'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out.
We've got the Persona dancing games that came out for the PS4. And then I've also got Spyro, the remastered edition. Yep.
So we'll have those two from Alex. You'll have a review from me, which will be from Inset Editions. Power Rangers, the Ultimate Visual History. We'll be talking about that. And then we'll have a review of Satan's Pantry, which, if you heard last week's show, we finished up Fallout 76's cookbook. And boy, have I got some thoughts on Fallout this week. So anyway, a lot of good stuff coming up on the show this week. So we will be right back here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity, where we discuss the good, the bad, and the just plain weird right here on Twig.
With the recent onslaught of all the new remastered games on the PS4 and Xbox One coming out, it was only a matter of time until we got a Spyro trilogy, which made me very happy when it was announced. It was always a game series that I had played with my younger brother, and when I got the opportunity to review this, I had him come and we played a bit together because I was always a Spyro 1 guy, and he was a Spyro 2 guy because it came out when he was at the perfect age to play. He was about 7-8 years old or so, and I was 6 years older, so at the time I had moved on mostly to RPGs. That being said, this was a great platform series on the PS1 that I was able to play with my brother and, you know, pick and play on my own, and I wanted to see how it made the jump into this console generation, and I'll have to say that it's quite good. There's not much else on the market right now that feels as precise and feels as good as this in the platformer realm. Like, I dare say, it's, in my mind, it's pretty much as good as, like, a Mario Odyssey. Like, you know, it's not the same graphics, the same gameplay style, but I get the same experience playing it as far as how I feel. I've dumped copious hours into completing the trilogy, and I'm probably still never going to be able to complete those hard-flying levels. I'm just not that good. But I do love a game that lets you complete the basic level very easy. But then you can go back and collect all the little items by finding all the nooks and crannies in each level, which, because of being the originally PS1 titles, they're not so huge that you'll get lost. Like, it's very distinct where you are. There's a map you can look at on your screen. And then it's about finding, how do I platform to the spot? How do I get there? How do I catch this guy? And everything feels precise. The controls are very spot on. The music is fantastic, both the remixed and the original versions. The graphics are top-notch. And I can't really say anything bad about the Spyro trilogy. It's something that I'm going to, I think, highly suggest to pretty much everybody, especially people with families or kids. It's something you're going to want to pick up, whether it be on PS4 or Xbox One.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
Welcome back to Things Here on Twig. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and of course we're going to talk about the news that is, that was, and forever shall be etched into the walls of history. We're going to talk about something that pisses me off. In fact, this week's news, it's not good. In fact, it annoys the ever-living shit out of me. For two reasons. One, I spent money on this crap. Two, I had to review this crap, although admittedly I did get a review code for it. Talk about that in a minute, but we also have some news involving Netflix's latest round of cancellations, and this one kind of surprises me, but I can't say it really does when I get into the story. So let's start things off. Bethesda is in shit again.
Can I give my opinion first, because I'm not a Bethesda fanboy?
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe that Bethesda ever finishes any of their games before they release them, ever. I don't believe, like, and we're talking Bethesda's in-house studio. We're not talking the European, I think it's a Polish studio that does the Wolfenstein games now. Like, those are very polished. Everything that's done by their studios that they've acquired, well, by the studios they've acquired, are well done. It's the games they produce in-house. Come to me, and I they come across as utter garbage as far as the quality of what... Now, they have good stories, they have good settings and all that. They're executed so poorly for games that cost full price and take millions of dollars and years to develop. I almost welcome them. I wish they would come out and do interviews with the programmers as to why their games are so buggy. That's basically, I will never buy one of their games until every piece of DLC is out and the game has been out for a year.
See, I think Skyrim had a lot less problems than this, although Skyrim had a few game-breaking and quest-breaking bugs. Fallout...
Try playing it on PS3 without a solid-state drive and see if it even works.
Yeah, I had friends of mine who were playing it at the time, and they were having massive issues with it. I've only ever played Skyrim on Xbox, and I've had a few issues. My latest problem on Xbox One I had is it deleted my... I kept saving over the same save file. After 700 saves, it wouldn't save anymore, and I was 3 achievements short of getting my platinum.
See? Garbage coding. Like, how can you be a company that big with that... we're talking multiple billion-dollar company and have such short-sightedness when it comes to their coding?
But that's not the story we're talking about.
No,
today.
I know. That's my vendetta against bad programmers. And I'm sorry, that is the programmers directly. That's their fault for not being able to make it roll.
The most recent round of Bethesda's whipping comes from their $250 Power Armor edition of the game. And the Power Armor edition of the game came with a T-51B helmet for the Brotherhood of Steel Power Armor frame. It came with a glow-in-the-dark map, came with some figurines, came with a Tri-Centennial Steelbook, and came with a quote-unquote... Westech canvas bag. When I say canvas, you know what I'm talking about, right? That kind of military duffel bag material.
Yeah, or stuff that you can... Well, not even just that. Stuff you can get for a dollar or two at the dollar store when it's on sale.
Yeah, so Bethesda gave us this Power Armor edition, promising us a canvas bag. Instead, what we got was a cheap nylon windbreaker type material, and it sucks. And
so 50 cents instead of a dollar.
Yeah, so people are complaining about this, and people who complained to Bethesda were given a very curt response of, we don't plan on doing anything about it, but for your trouble, we'll give you 500 atoms, the in-game currency for their microtransaction.
So they'll give you nothing.
They'll give you pretend money to go away. Now, a law firm is actually following up on this, and they're checking into it to see if there's anything they can do about this. And that's not the only reason, too. Another lawsuit is potentially coming up involving Bethesda's refund policy. Because in certain countries, and Canada included, if the game does not... If you get a defective product, you are entitled to a refund.
And honestly... A bug which either erases your save or
prevents progress.
If the bug presents itself as an incomplete game, that's considered a defect.
Well, I was watching review for Fallout 76, and I thought I was the only one having this experience. One of Angry Joe's other editors who works with him encountered a player damage bug where they were getting dropped, or their weapons are doing next to no damage against other players. In my experience, I was getting one-shotted, just dropped to nothing health.
I have gone down the rabbit hole on Reddit to prepare for this.
Yeah.
And what people are saying on there, and this is from programmers that work for other companies in the gaming industry, but they'll have throwaway Reddit accounts to talk about it. They said that Bethesda is notorious for releasing beta games as complete games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying this is basically an alpha. This isn't complete.
Someone had a really good idea for it, and I wish Bethesda had actually done this. If the game in its current state had been released in August of this year as a true beta or early access and spent the next 2-3 months up until release of November 14th preparing for the game's release and squashed most of those bugs, I would have been satisfied. Because when Fallout came out, when you and I were watching E3, the it was in July or something, they announced the Break It Early Test application, the beta. And we expected we'd have like a month or longer with this particular title. What we got was Xbox exclusivity for a week, which turned into 8 hours. And then we had probably about, less than a day,
That's a tactic that that programmers will use. They're funneling you into one aspect of the game just to show you what they want to show you so that you'll give it good reviews and good public buzz.
Well, that's another thing, too. I don't remember a lot of the buzz out of the beta being terrible. It was like,
no,
it's okay.
Closed environment. They put you, basically, they completed 10% of the game at that point, like polished 10% of it. And then they released the game and they're like, it's like you literally, people playing it, the analogy I can give is like, it's you're in this, you know, amazing world and all this, and you walk off out of the room and you're like, oh, I'm on a Hollywood movie set where nothing's complete except for this room.
Well, it's, I wouldn't even say that far. The main problem I have with Fallout 76, as I said in my review, and I stole this quote from Reddit, and I fully admit this. The game has a story, but it has no plot. And it follows the, like, overseer, and you're always just one step behind her, and she's leaving holotapes. And another person pointed this out in their review. When you launch the nuke, you can immediately launch back into a holotape screen and get it back. No time has passed, and the overseer's like, why did you launch that nuke? Where the fuck were you? You were supposed to be here, like, 5 seconds ago. There's no story you care about, whereas in Fallout 3, where is my dad? Fallout 4, where's my son? Fallout 76, where's my game?
You know what this is? It's a free fucking game.
It's going to be free to play. I promise you within a year, it'll be free to play. And they're going to put microtransactions out the ass for it.
And nobody will buy it. Unless, the only people that are going to buy it are people that want to hurt.
Hardcore fans.
They want to hurt. It's like the people that buy their games at launch like being punished.
I don't know. Because like I said, full disclosure, I got a review code for the game. For the Tricentennial Edition, and I bought my Power Armor Edition. So I bought this game twice, or I got this game twice.
So you were double fucked.
Yeah, and honestly, I've uninstalled it from my hard drive. I put 15 to 20 hours into the game. I didn't get very far level-wise because I kept running from fights. I spent most of my time building.
Here's the thing. If you get enjoyment out of it as it is, that's great. That's good for you. But don't try to defend it saying it's not a poorly programmed game.
Yeah, because every person who defends this game says, oh, but it's better with friends. And it's
Or they're talking about their individual experience. But you have to admit it's a poorly programmed game.
Yeah, objectively, you have to look
at
here are the problems.
I have a brother that is a programmer, fairly high level. And he's told me, he's played around with it. He goes, this needed 5 to 6 months to complete.
Yeah, like honestly.
And for the multiple millions of dollars they spent on it, it went right into their fucking pockets. It's a recycled game.
That's another thing too. Bethesda, or one of their parent companies, won a huge lawsuit against Facebook. $2 billion or some shit like that. So they've got money.
Yeah.
They just pissed it away, and the fact that they're offering you this free in-game currency for if you're not happy with your canvas bag, you can't buy much with that. If you want to buy, this was an example I saw on Twitter, one of the cooler outfits you can buy is a postman's outfit. Like, think of the movie The Postman.
Yeah.
Guess how much that cost?
No idea.
700 points. They give you 500. Here's $5. You buy something?
But it's
cool,
not even
70.
That. It's not even real fucking money. Like, yeah, it's no like answer. when you get ripped off, generally in the States, the agreement will be that you'll get like class action. You'll get the class action lawsuit might come, but generally you get some form of real world compensation.
Yeah, and they're
they should have given you $5 back from what you paid.
Yeah, like some people.
But even then, that's a fuck you, because it costs them maybe $1 to make the bag, which is it's bullshit. The other thing is, if you add up the price of all the components, that fucking helmet's worth $50. That as far as materials made into it.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking, because they're making it at a certain scale. And there's no shortage of those games at stores. I've been there. They have them sitting at... I've been to three different EB Games.
The Power Armor Edition?
Yes, they have them sitting there for different systems.
Really?
People refusing
to. Are the first person I've ever
It's because
that.
People. I asked when I went, when I was there just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
The one location, they said, they had two people cancel because they heard the game was bad.
Wow.
Like there's not a. They made a lot of them. So this isn't going to be an issue of like.
Yeah, because I remember Bethesda's Todd Howard, I think it is, or Pete Hines, one of the others, had said they're not making any more Power Armor editions once it sells out, because the game, Power Armor Edition, has sold out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all shipped to store, and there's people that pre-ordered that didn't want it or returned
now,
it.
Now, I spend a lot of time on Facebook Marketplace, as you well know.
Yes.
I've seen multiple people selling off everything from the collector's edition except
and that's probably what's gonna happen. And here, to be honest, those games that I saw at the store, it's very possible that they kept the helmet and just traded the game in with the box. Now, because you don't get any more for trading it in with the box. So, or it could be satisfaction guarantees, there could be different things involved with that. But it's to me, am I buying a toy or am I buying the game? If you're into it just to get the helmet and you want to spend that kind of money, that's your prerogative. And if you get enjoyment out of the game as it is, that's fine. I'm not telling you can't enjoy a game that's bad. I'm not telling you can't enjoy a game that's buggy or unfinished. I'm saying we should be punishing people for not producing. If you went and bought a CD and the last three tracks of the CD weren't mixed, and we're talking like blown out levels left and right, every third time you tried to play it, it wouldn't play, you bring the CD fucking back and get a replacement.
Absolutely.
So if a movie... If you buy a movie and you bring it home and you pop it in and you can only watch 2/3 of the movie and then your player will stop playing it, you bring it back.
Yeah.
Why is it with games and specifically Bethesda, people are okay with it?
Well, that's something that the gaming industry has kind of gotten into, where they just figure, day one patch.
But their day one patches still didn't work.
Yeah, in fact, it made the game worse. A patch was released about a week ago, and people are reporting more frame rate issues, more frequent crashes. I lost progress. I had my camp deleted several times. I ran into so many bugs, I just said, fuck it, and deleted it.
Kind of makes you go, ooh, Andromeda was a better game.
Yeah, it's true, because like you and I had this discussion off-air. Andromeda had its problems.
But it wasn't a bad game.
It was just lazy.
It was a letdown from the highlight of the previous.
Yes. Whereas you look at this compared to Fallout 4, Fallout 4 had its problems, but it wasn't as bad as this.
Here's the thing. What if THQ put this out? Nordic.
Oh, they'd get vivisected.
It would be destroyed. This would bankrupt the company.
Oh, yeah.
Bethesda, people sit there and they're like, oh, Bethesda, and they're just jerking it and stroking it. Oh, Bethesda. Oh, it's okay. I got to protect them because they make the games I like. I'm sorry. That's bullshit.
Yeah, like, I am not happy with this. And I even said this to my wife, Blair. I have the Power Armor Edition. I know a game collector who will buy it from me, but I'm not going to get what I put into it.
No.
Now, thankfully, I paid my Power Armor Edition off with all trade credit, so either way I'm still coming out
but
aware,
that could have been three other games.
Yeah, that could have been anything I wanted. I mean, the helmet's cool, and I've got it sitting in a place right now where it looks at me every single day as a constant reminder.
Fuck, the price of this game, you can buy an Xbox One S.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. That's another thing. Let's talk about the pricing of this game. Now, Black Friday sales had this thing knocked down to $35.
American, so like $49 up here.
Yeah, so that's less than just a little over or
it was 40,
over or
it was, it was 40, 2 weeks from release. It was 40 or 45% off.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a door crasher. That was across the board most stores.
Yeah.
I don't remember a time where that happened that close.
I can think of maybe the game Evolve, maybe Battleborn, maybe.
And those were known, like those weren't AAA, like they might have been AAA to that company, but they weren't AAA titles.
Yeah,
they weren't
it
being
was
like this is
Gearbox
what
Gearbox and Sega.
Bethesda is hinging their year on this.
And that's something to kind of ask, why did this happen? And my theory is I don't think this has to do with inept programmers.
Oh, it does. It certainly does.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
I think this has to come from the corporate level because they're told you have to have this game out on November 14th no matter what, no matter what state it's in.
Oh, no, there's no. That's always an aspect. The corporate culture, I'm saying you could hire better programmers that could do it in that time. It can be done.
The game should have been delayed 6 months.
This, I don't think, but looking at the record, it wouldn't matter how long they delayed it. They're lazy programmers.
I don't know.
They leave bugs in that could easily be patched out.
Well, yeah, because there was the power armor bug, which is still present in Fallout 4, is still present here.
This is what I'm saying. This isn't even a new game that was built from scratch. This is just a bullshit online. They're like, how can we make as much money as possible as quickly as possible? And that's been their MO since the PS3 era.
See, an online Fallout is not a bad idea in concept, because if you told me I could play Fallout 4 with a friend, with NPCs,
yeah,
okay, cool.
Well, if this was free to play to start and microtransaction supported for all your armors and shit, I would not be complaining, because I'd be like, let everybody play their stupid ass free game. I don't care.
As long as it wasn't pay to win, I'd be okay with it.
I feel like they're stealing from their fans that are too afraid to admit the game's not complete.
Well, the fact that they're already pushing their microtransaction store when the game isn't working properly, like, that's bullshit.
I just paid $250 for a game that doesn't work, and now you want me to give you maybe thousands of dollars in microtransactions? Sure, I'm a moron.
Well, another person, once again, made a really good point. Angry Joe did this. In his review, to buy the Fallout Vault-Tec paint job, a paint job for your power armor, take a guess how much that cost.
$5?
Try 18.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
That's Capcom money there.
Yeah, well, at least with like Capcom money, how often are their games busted? Maybe a bounce.
No, and look what happens.
Can fix it.
Street Fighter V almost bankrupted them.
Because it was a horrible way to release that game.
And then they had also botched the launch of Ultimate...
Marvel's Capcom Infinite. Yeah.
So, that's bad. Like, Bethesda seems to be the only company that's shitty game-proof.
Because their franchises are so beloved.
What will hit them, though? If these class-action lawsuits come out, it'll fuck them. And we're talking... It's not going to hit... Like, oh, they're going to have to spend, like, $10 million paying people out, like, a $2 thing. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to provide the bag, or they're going to have to do something. No, they will lose so much press and goodwill on this.
This is a big black eye for them.
Here's the thing. Who's ever, unless you're a crazy fanboy that doesn't give a shit about games working, who's going to ever pre-order one of their games ever again?
See, the shame is... It's such a powerful franchise.
No, I'm talking regular editions. They're done. People are only going to buy the collector's shit because they want the cool shit that comes with it.
Yeah.
But then again, they just fucked those people over. So who the hell...
See, it would vastly depend... Now, because of this, it's vastly going to depend what they offer me for Elder Scrolls 6. And I fully admit, I am that stupid fanboy.
It's not going to work.
I want
the cool edition. Here's the thing. Even if they build a game from scratch with a new engine... You can't trust their programmers, because if management won't give them the time or the tools necessary to complete a game properly, what makes you think they'll do it again?
I don't know.
It's a culture problem, and I've read, there was a bunch of articles that were very long, I think some were on Kotaku and other sites that were posting them, of people that used to work there that left, and they're the same problems that Blizzard's having,
mm-hmm.
where it is a culture thing from the top down, but Bethesda's culture was never... It's perfect. It's just good enough. That's their culture. Is it good enough to sell? Not, is it good?
Oh.
And that's what Blizzard's having issues with now, too. Because that has always been Activision and EA's. Is it good enough?
Or I remember Ubisoft took a lot of heat when Assassin's Creed Unity came out. And they patched that fucker quick.
But that's the difference. They made it work fast. So, and that was an issue of multiple studios working. And the other issue is you stretch yourself so thin. These games have like 300 or 400 people coding them. Well, they're spread over multiple countries, multiple teams. It doesn't work that well. You have to have a central team. Take Starlink.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of it. I think all of it was done in Toronto. Game's fantastic. It Toys of Life may or may not go anywhere anymore. It might be struggling. They put a discount out there for Christmas because that's going to be their bread and butter if they're selling it to kids.
Mm-hmm.
But look, the game worked out of the bat. There's not been a single patch for that game yet because it just works. And it was all produced in-house, one studio, the same length of time, 4 or 5 years that these games would have been taken to get made.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking work because they hired a good team. And I don't think there's a good team. Whatever team it is for Bethesda that makes the Dishonored games,
yeah,
they use a similar engine. And they work fine because they're coded well. So it's a management issue. It's a programmer issue. And if you're a listener and you happen to be a programmer at Bethesda, I feel for you. I'm sorry, man. That's a rough job. Because
something's happened.
Because
yeah.
You are going to be, for the next 6 months, in meeting after meeting after meeting of what went wrong, even though you know what went wrong. Because I'm not saying that you're inept. Like, I'm saying that you're not good enough to work under those conditions. Because who really is? Who knows how bad it is?
Yeah. And unless one of those programmers comes out with a Reddit, ask me anything. And yeah. We'll never know whether it's true or not, because it could be a throwaway account.
It would have to be somebody high profile has to get fired and then just not care about confidentiality and just go to town.
IGN.
Somebody's got to leak out internal documents about what their mandates are from high up.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be happening now with these larger companies. You don't hear about it with like Sony, Santa Monica, and that. You don't hear about it with a lot of the first party companies.
Yeah.
These third party giants are getting so big and acquiring so many other small studios that they're starting to topple. And I think that might be an issue here.
Yeah. I really hope Bethesda can get their shit figured out.
Yeah. I don't hate them. I don't have a hard on for hating them. I have a problem with anybody asking $80 for a piece of shit.
My problem is I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Because you knew how excited I was.
I kept trying to temper your expectations when I kept seeing videos of it. Like, there's not a whole lot of gameplay.
Well, that's another thing, too. That's something to actually kind of mention to us. We didn't see a lot at E3.
No.
Then there was the Greenbrier event where they flew out a bunch of YouTubers and streamers
well,
to talk about
when,
it.
When they talked about it, they're like, you know, we're doing the beta program. And they laugh. They know their games are shit. When they laugh and they're like, oh, it's always broken. We know. And we know with Bethesda games, this is our first online game. We're going to need a lot of help. A lot of help equates to what, like a 5-hour window or 8-hour window?
Yeah.
How much help is that? So
yeah,
that's bullshit. They knew their game wasn't going to work, and they were hoping it was going to slip by. And you know what we have right now? We got a fucking...
Everybody in the industry is looking
at it. We've got Battlefront all over again.
Yeah. Where everybody's looking at them, and there'll be like there's going to be lawsuits coming out of this, and there already are.
Thank God they're not using loot boxes, are they?
No,
because the government's investigating that now.
Yeah, with the FTC. Yeah. It'll be because I talk about that with Steve and an altered geek that comes out in like a week or two.
Okay, because it's going to be interesting. Like, there's a shuffling even in Japan. Some of the bigger companies, Square Enix, is having some turmoil.
Well, they straight up pulled the game in several European countries. Like, they pulled 3 Final Fantasy titles.
Yeah, there's that. And then you got, like... And Europe doesn't fuck around. Like if they see this game as incomplete, they'll just fucking ban it. They'll say... They'll actually go through, the European Union could... They have the power to force their own playtesters.
Mm-hmm.
And they can determine that a game is not complete. And they'll actually just say, fuck it, we're not releasing your game.
Well, that's something else that was brought up too, and this may be more in the conspiracy theory realm than it is anything, where it's funny how Bethesda pushed this game out on their own launcher but not on Steam.
Oh, because Steam allows refunds.
Exactly. Now, if that ain't suspicious as fuck, I don't know.
And
what
that
is.
In Europe, it's different than even here. In Europe, any game that you open, if you don't like it, you can return it. Like, you know, here you have, like, sometimes, depending on if you have, like, gamer clubs, you can do, like, satisfaction guarantees within a few days.
Yeah.
And you're, like, here, and but normally when you open media here, you can only get a replacement of the same product. You can't get a refund.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, you're allowed to refund things.
Okay.
Because everything in the European Union is about protecting the consumer. And we're sort of caught in between the European and American methods.
Yeah.
In the States, for the FTC to get involved, it takes a lot. But I wouldn't be surprised if all eyes are on them right now.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be an interesting 6 months to see what happens with this. And I hope the consumer wins. That's what I'll say. So moving on to my next story here, to move away from Bethesda bashing for the last 20 or so minutes. This one kind of caught me by surprise. Netflix made an announcement earlier this week, by the time you hear this, that Marvel's Daredevil, after its third successful season, and arguably probably one of its best out of its three, got canceled late on Thursday night. And Gotta say, that took me by surprise. However, the showrunner, I don't remember his name, though, had put on Twitter about 2 weeks before going into a meeting to pitch Daredevil Season 4, Wish Me Luck. And obviously, it got canceled. A lot of people have been wishing their goodbyes from the show, a lot on Instagram, a lot on Twitter. But then Marvel put out a statement on Friday of last week saying, Daredevil's adventures will continue on. You have not seen the last of him. Now, that either means there's more comics, which, big deal, there's always going to be Daredevil comics, or there'll be a soft reboot on Disney Plus next year, or the year after.
Well, what this is going to depend on is, does Netflix, because they were co-owners of the properties,
yeah,
will they be pulled from Netflix and go on to the Disney Network?
I don't know, because I think the Disney Network, they're aiming to have more family-friendly content.
But it would all depend on if they do it. Like,
yeah.
If they do that, then they could just continue it on there. Now, what does this say? Because I know that Jessica Jones still has a season coming out. They're recording it. So their contract will state it probably has to come out.
Yeah.
Same with Punisher. I could see them keeping the Punisher, because the Punisher is so... It's clearly the
Jessica
most R-rated.
Jessica Jones and...
They could let
Punisher would probably stay on Netflix.
Jessica Jones was the least watched one.
Yet it was the most critically acclaimed.
Yeah. I think Punisher was watched by more than any. That was all those announcements for it. I could see them getting Punisher for one more season after this. It depends on what they work out. Because the other thing is, Netflix just sign a deal with Millar for Millar World Comics, like the Kingsman and all those things?
I think so.
So they'll have a staple of comic book shows they can put out. There's also the option of them working with Sony, because Sony has that
Powers or whatever.
No, Sony has that big deal with Valiant Comics.
Yeah.
And they've got Bloodshot starring Vin Diesel coming out soon, and a few others. So they could shop around to get their own. It's not a big deal. And I think the viewers were going down on anything that wasn't Daredevil.
Well, yeah.
Daredevil and Punisher were the highest watched ones.
Yes, and it's because Netflix never releases their viewing numbers.
They do say when it was, like, the most viewed so far. They'll say that. They did say something about, wasn't it like 1 in 5 or a quarter of all Netflix subscribers had watched at least one episode of Punisher, something like that? They did release something about how it was a gigantic numbers. It was like 20 million people or something watched it.
Yeah. I know Defenders was a letdown.
It was a piece of shit.
Yeah, which is surprising considering they had the right casting, but the problem is the story was so weak.
I watched 2 episodes of Iron Fist and then just didn't watch any of it ever again.
I haven't finished Iron Fist Season 2.
I really didn't like Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones Season 1 I loved. Jessica Jones Season 2 I hated.
I didn't like either. And I didn't watch Luke Cage. I didn't watch the newest Luke Cage.
Luke Cage Season 2 is really good. I think it was better.
And I didn't watch the newest Daredevil.
Daredevil's really good.
There's too much to watch. That's the problem right now. And it's going to get even worse with all these other streaming
networks.
That's
why I'm kind of hoping over the Christmas break, when we take our break, I'm going to finally finish Iron Fist and know that that character's done. Although they've even said these characters will live on.
Just watch The Flash on CW.
That's the thing. If I had to pick a universe, I'm always going to go Marvel. I'm more connected.
Oh, the Arrowverse stuff is... The rest of the shows, like, aren't super great. Flash is better than anything else, though. Like, anything else in the market.
I'm curious to see what will happen when Disney Plus launches their Scarlet Witch TV series, Winter Soldier, and Loki.
Well,
because they're bringing in those actors.
Hulu has Runaways, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi...
Fox has Legion.
Which I did not like. FX is, Legion is too boring and cerebral in your head. It's flashy for the sake of being flashy, but it's boring. I fell asleep twice, and I don't fall asleep watching TV shows. But Krypton was surprisingly good on Sci-Fi.
I'm curious.
Surprisingly good. Then there's other ones coming out. I forget what other shows there are, but there's a bunch of them. Black Lightning is, I'm sorry, it's not good. It gets reviews like saying, basically, it's like Black Power empowering and it's women, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. Yes, it's very progressive that way, but they kind of like shove it down your throat. It's very...
So the story doesn't speak for itself. I've never seen it.
It's very ham-fisted. It's very much, look at how good we are because we're doing this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Supergirl's like too. It's very much like, every character is gay because that's cool and hip. Like, it doesn't feel natural to the stories.
Yeah.
And that's what Black Lightning, it doesn't feel natural to the story. I do get, like, it's a big deal having black superheroes. And I'm not, like, I'm not bigoted in any way. It's simply, it's not a very well-told story. So I have a hard time watching that one. And I try to give everything a watch. Like, I didn't watch Cloak and Dagger, because that seemed to be geared to a younger age than me.
I've heard really good things. I have it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. So and Gotham, I thought was dead, but apparently it's coming back.
Really? I thought it was finished.
Comes back in January or February.
Oh, okay. So they're going to finish out the series.
I think so. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is next summer.
And it got picked up again for season 7.
God's sake.
Which I wonder what they're going to do without Clark Gregg. That's, I'm a little curious about.
So, I mean, there's lots of options. Basically, my go-tos when it comes to these shows right now is I watch the ones I like the most. I watch The Flash. Then I would say maybe Daredevil, Punisher. Then Legends of Tomorrow, which is a fun, stupid, wacky show. And then I would say Krypton. And that's pretty much the rest of them. Oh, sorry, Runaways. Runaways is great.
For me, Daredevil is probably my go-to. Then probably Jessica Jones. Then Luke Cage. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm hoping S.H.I.E.L.D. will get better, but that's not the point of this conversation.
No.
I think the point is, when Disney Plus launches, it's not going to have a lot of Marvel it'll have anything past Captain Marvel, because that's when the Netflix agreement expires. I don't think they'll have any TV shows of their own to launch with it, because we would have heard something by now.
Well, wait and see, because a lot of the shows on Fox are taking a break come, like, I think next week, until like February or March. Because I think there's shows, a lot of them are going to be in limbo with ABC basically owning all of the Fox properties.
Yeah.
Which means, what was it like? The Gifted, not, that's probably going to get canceled, but who knows? They might need content for their streaming network. Who knows? A lot of this stuff is launching in the new year. Everything is in limbo.
My guess is Disney Plus launches September next year.
Didn't they say it's coming in the new year, though? Like,
Yeah. It's
no, I thought like... No. That's most of the DC stuff.
Yes.
It's launching then.
Yeah, Disney Plus. Although, why we don't have the Warner Brothers streaming service in Canada is beyond me.
It's because Warner has a deal with Crave.
Yeah.
Right? Because they own HBO.
Because we don't get Titans.
Remember, Crave Plus is coming now, where you get HBO and all that?
Yeah.
And that's all of the Warner stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it probably will be on Crave. Well, again, we'll have to see that.
Yeah, I'll have to wait and see.
Yay, craziness with so... Basically, all the streaming networks that are popping up are turning into cable.
Yeah, so your cable will cost you less, but about the same
at the end of the day? Here's the thing. If it costs the same as what traditional cable packages were, let's say you have to get 3 services roughly to cover almost everything,
yeah,
and it costs you basically $40 a month, that's still cheaper, and you get to watch it on demand. This isn't like you have to wait till it's on.
Yeah.
So...
We'll have to wait and see what happens. So hopefully we'll get all this figured out. I'm sad to see Daredevil go.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised with Daredevil specifically.
It ended on a really good note.
I haven't seen it. Do not spoil.
It ends on a good note. If the series had to end here, I'm glad.
Okay.
The post-credit scene, whatever. But I'm happy the way that it turned out. So anyway, guys, we'll be back right here on Twig. We're going to take another... we're actually going to take a view from an element from myself, as we take a look at Inside Edition's Power Rangers, The Visual History. We'll be back right here on Twig right after this.
All right, it's morphin' time! Dragon Sword!
This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening to This Week in Geek, and it's morphin' time.
We are looking at Saban's Power Rangers, The Ultimate Visual History by Inside Editions, written by Jody Revinson and Remen Zahid. This is a book that is meant for the ultimate Power Rangers fan. If you've been a fan since Mighty Morphin Power Rangers all the way back in the early 90s to currently, as of right now, Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel, which is just getting ready to finish up its season. If not, it just aired its Christmas episode this past weekend. This thing has everything. It even has the movies, including Turbo and the reboot, which was out last year. So there's so much behind the scenes information here that it's a lot to cover in 255 pages, but every series gets covered. SPD, RPM, Mystic Force, Dino Thunder, Dino Charge, Super Samurai. every series you can think of that's been aired on broadcast TV, at least over here in North America, has been covered, and there's something unique in each chapter, which I think is really cool. One of the things I didn't know specifically on SPD, which stands for Space Patrol Delta, is Commander Kruger's head caught on fire at one point, and the actor was almost smoked out of the animatronic head, which I think was kind of neat. I also found out about some of the production difficulties that happened on RPM, where it was supposed to be Disney's last hurrah with the Power Rangers franchise, and they said, just go nuts. Give us something really cool, because the Dark Knight's really popular. We want something kind of edgy, but still for kids. And what we got is arguably one of my favorite seasons of Power Rangers. I love Power Rangers RPM. In fact, go watch that stuff right now. It's on Netflix. If not, you can buy it from Shout Factory. But regardless, you get a lot of really cool behind-the-scenes info here. And one of the best things about this is some of the behind-the-scenes photographs and production photographs. You get really good close-ups of the props. You get really good photos of the actual Sentai suits. One of the things I really liked about it was right towards the end of it is they do a chapter on the new Power Rangers movie. And you never really get a good look at the new Power Rangers power coins. Here, I guess you're seeing production photos or something, and you can actually make out what the actual dinosaurs are, like red for the Tyrannosaurus, Sabertooth Tiger for yellow, pink for the Pterodactyl, so on and so forth. You also get a really good look at Rita's costume. One of the things I'm really glad they did is there's little production designs things, or little inserts, where they do things talking about the comic books, the toys, the video games. I wish there was maybe a little bit more on the toys. I kind of wish the toys had gotten their own section, because I'm a bit of a toy guy. There is like a little pullout on Power Rangers video games, and admittedly, there haven't been that many great Power Rangers video games. I think arguably the best being the Super Nintendo version, maybe the Genesis one, but it's been pretty crappy ever since. But no, overall, this is a fantastic value, and you really do learn a lot. I wish the chapters were maybe a little bit longer, but I'm reaching for the moon here. The fact that I have 25 years of Power Rangers history that I can reference, I can read about, I can revisit my childhood and learn things about now as an adult I can really appreciate, I think this is a fantastic value for any Power Rangers fan. And trust me when I say, it's Morphin time.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter? I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Wow, Mike! Thank you for that insightful review of Power Rangers! Of course I'm gonna recommend something like that.
Of course, man. Like, it's Power Rangers.
It's Power Rangers, it's well made, a lot of really neat stories that I never knew, but you just heard my review. Anyway, on to the weird, wacky, the just plain fucked up news that happened around the world this week.
And I don't have to do it on my own!
You don't gotta do it by yourself. Ain't that a fucking thing? Okay, so, we got two stories this week. One of them I'm covering only because it's so Canadian, yet it's not. And it involves mass shootings. And you may be wondering, where am I going with this? Well, they're hoping it will never happen. This story comes to us courtesy of WCVB ABC5. They're hoping, and I'm just going to read the story up until a certain point.
Okay.
They're hoping it will never happen, but if a shooter shows up on their campus, students and professors at a University of Michigan may be throwing hockey pucks. They have enough mass to cause injury, small enough to be thrown, and are portable, and they're not considered a weapon, said Oakland University Police Chief Mark Gordon told CNN. Police and faculty at the school in suburban Detroit came up with the idea after a presentation on emergency preparedness. Oakland University already practices the run and hide and fight strategy, but Gordon said one question that came up is what students and professors should fight with. What they needed, he said, was an improvised weapon. The police heard all kinds of suggestions on what might be available in a classroom, including chairs, backpacks, staplers, anything that has weight and would cause injury if you were to throw it. Having some sort of defense in a shooter situation, Gordon said, would dramatically increase survival. But hockey pucks are an absolutely last resort, said Thomas DeSina, president of Oakland University chapter of the American Association of University Professors.
Hockey pucks. It's better than actually than arming the teachers. All that fucking bullshit.
I just... Oh, no, here comes a shooter. Quick, throw a puck at him from the red line.
You'd be better having hockey sticks in every room.
Because just spear the guy.
No, just well, hook him in the back of the... You know what? I would... Here's the thing.
Or a nightstick.
If the teacher under lock and key behind a desk had a baseball bat...
Or something.
Like
collapsible baton, like an asp.
I don't know, a fucking board with a nail in it? I don't... Like, the guns... Or how about this? Find the root cause, which is gun and mental health issues. Here's the thing.
It's not sporting
equipment. People say the guns. It's never the guns. It starts with the mental health issue you've got.
Yeah.
There are more people with mental health issues in the States than any other of the first world countries. Any of them. You can look up the stats on that. There are more people living with crazy mental illness untreated because health... Basically, it comes back to healthcare.
Mm.
Your healthcare system is so unbelievably bad. That and I don't care. Americans always try to defend it better than Canada. Fuck no, it's not. We don't have as many shootings. We have very little, if any.
Yeah, like hear about it once in a while.
We have like a mass shooting a decade.
Yeah.
Like and you've got them daily. So I'm sorry. It's access to weapons is a big one. Mental health is another one. There's all these other factors. We're at a point now where you have to train kids to be able to fight off other shooters at your school as a normal day occurrence.
Yeah, there was
I'm sorry. Isn't that what America fought against and in the 50s, like fighting communism, fighting all stuff, and like to have a safe school where you wouldn't have to have any of this bullshit? How did they revert to, you know, fear of the violent threats?
I remember there was a thread on Twitter I saw, and it went something along the lines of my kindergarten student, has gone through active shooter drills 5 times this year. That has got to be one of the single-handedly most heartbreaking statements I've ever heard.
Columbine happened when I was in the 7th grade.
It happened for me when I was in grade 11, so 1999.
Yeah, I was in the 7th or 8th grade. And you know what we did? Code red things, because that was fairly new, because a couple of years earlier... In my region, there was a kid that was taken out of a room by a parent and beat up, blah, blah. It happened, and it basically changed everything. This was in, like, 96.
Yeah.
So our region was used to doing code reds. And it was, like, doors were locked, and you just sat there at your desk with your head down. And that's when they started doing things like putting posters up so that you couldn't see in the door window.
Yeah.
Big normal. But, again, that wasn't too bad because it was the same drills we did for, like, tornado drills and all that. We didn't do an intruder drill until grade 10 for me, which was 2002. Mm-hmm. And that was because of 9/11 in 2001.
Yeah.
And after that, we had to do intruder drills. It was not because of shootings, even though they started happening a little bit in the States. But now they do them all the time here because they're afraid that it's going to spill over up here.
Yeah, because my wife being a teacher, they do something called hold and secures. Where they lock the door, they tell the kids to be ready in case something. I'm not sure the specifics of
it. It's basically the code red of what they used to call code reds.
Yeah. I remember because I went to high school before you, obviously.
Yeah.
I graduated about 2000 something, and I don't recall us ever doing a drill. Not even tornado drills in high school. Maybe a fire drill, I recall once or twice.
Generally, tornado drills were done once or twice a year.
Yeah. With us, no. Never. But my memory could very well be flawed.
Did you skip class?
Oh, yeah.
Then you probably weren't there.
Probably wasn't there, yeah. But still, just the fact that hockey pucks are small enough to cause injury if you throw them. Good luck pinging someone in the head with that thing.
You know what?
They're going to shoot your ass.
You know what? I will take a rubber thing like that over. Like, I get it. You have to defend yourself or whatever. You know what? Shooter's not getting into a door once it's locked when they use those steel doors. So as long as... Like, what, are you going to carry it in your pockets so you're in the hallway? You can just chuck it at people?
What do you got? I got my defense.
If I'm in the hallway of a school when a shooting's going down, I'm running. And you're running to either the outside, or if you're in the core of the school, you know where you run? Shop class.
Because the door will be defensible?
Weapons.
Yeah?
If you're running, you run to shop class and you get a nail gun. Or you... You run to shop class and you grab a saw.
Or a 2x4.
You grab a hatchet. You grab some... Like, and that's... That is... Because I'll tell you one thing. The gym teacher ain't going to be able to do shit. Shop teacher's seen some shit in his day. Shop teacher will be the one to be like, stand behind me. We got a torch welder. We're going to melt this fucker's face. Like, you know, he'll be like, remember how I said wear the goggles?
Don't.
We're not wearing you. He's going to need
eyes.
So, yeah, like if shit goes down, you want to be with your auto shop class, or you want to be with your welder. You want to be with your carpenter teacher, because he or she is going to be the toughest bitch in the school.
Oh, yeah.
By far. Gym teachers, yeah, I'm in great shape. Okay, yeah, you get shot faster because you can you got more surface area because you've been lifting.
Oh, yeah.
No, but seriously, you want to go to the auto shop, because generally most of the shop classes have those doors you can lift up to get outside.
Yeah.
So, if you can, get to a shop class and hide in there.
There you go. Safety tips by Alice. I never would have thought of that.
And I learned that from my shop teacher, who bought us all slushies the one year. And we saw 9/11 as it was all happening. He hooked up the TV, watched it happen. And then we caught him smoking weed in the car, and he passed it out to us. I won't say his name because he's probably retired now. But yeah, I was walking with a friend, and we're like, what? And he was hotboxing the car with one of the art teachers. And we're like, what are you doing? And he knocks on the window, and my friend knocks on the window, and he goes, hey, fucko, give me a hit. And the teacher's like, And he goes, by the way, I never miss your class. And from then on, he could skip his class every day, the art teacher, and he was marked as there. Because he's caught the teacher's hot box in a car in one of the periods.
Yeah, you're basically done.
So for me, he wasn't my shop teacher. Mm-hmm. He was in the next room. But he was awesome, because he would bring us snacks. And I'd be like, he's high. He brought us snacks. Anywho, shop teachers are awesome, basically.
All right, moving on to our next story. This one's a little bit sadder.
Sorry, I derailed it. But that just brought back a flash of high school memories.
Random transition. This one's a little bit sadder. This one I filed under the weird category simply because the show itself is weird, and the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, Steven Hillenburg, has unfortunately passed away at the age of 57. The cause of death was ALS.
Lou Gehrig's, yeah.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig's disease. He was diagnosed back in March of 2017, and he worked in animation for 20 years. Turns out he was also a marine biologist.
I know some people, clarify, it was Lou Gehrig's ALS. Some people online, there was a misconception that he had MS, and he was having early onset, why am I drawing a blank on the memory issues, that he was having Alzheimer's. But it wasn't, it was ALS.
That's unfortunate, too, because a couple of people in one of my old towns I used to live in had ALS, and it was a terrible disease to die
from.
Well,
your brain is still working, but everything else slowly stops. Your
spinal cord stops working. You stop breathing.
But he worked apparently right up until the end.
Yeah, like he had plans for the next SpongeBob movie, a bunch of episodes.
I believe he's still going to be credited as giving the writing for the SpongeBob movie. Yeah. That was pushed until, I think, summer of next year now.
I think so, something like that.
2020 instead of 2019.
And the main reason I'm upset about this, obviously because a man's life is gone, he's a very tragic loss.
And a very talented person.
Yeah, like SpongeBob got me through a lot of hard times at the hospital. Because it was always on television.
Absurdist and surprisingly smart.
Yeah.
Smarter than a show that you sound like at first glance is like a noisy show for kids that you think means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some very clever jokes and little subtle nods to things in there.
Mm-hmm. And the characters are all well developed. I mean, all things considered, like Squidward's a jerk. SpongeBob himself is a happy idiot. Patrick is the best friend, but he's also very, very, very loyal. And then, you know, Gary Plankton. What's the name of the squirrel again? Help me out.
Sally.
Sandy.
Sandy. Sorry. Yeah.
And just weird stuff like that. And the show was so much fun. I can remember two episodes that have stuck with me since I saw them. One was when SpongeBob flew a World War II airplane in underground or underwater for some reason as part of some air race. He was really afraid to learn how to fly, and he learned in like a night. The message of the episode is you can do anything you put your mind to if you're determined enough, and he did it. And the other one is where Squidward is trying to have a nice day off, and Patrick and SpongeBob find all their baby toys in the attic, and Squidward gets all pissed off at them. He's like, if you want to act like babies, see if I care. And then he gets hit by, like, a mailbox and turns into, like, a drooling idiot. So they take Squidward to the doctor. He's like, yeah, he's got swelling on the brain. He'll be fine as long as he doesn't take any more blows to the head. So you can guess what happens. And he says the entire episode in a diaper, going, and that's Squidward doing that. And it stuck with me. It's so absurd.
Now, my brother grew up with more, because remember, the show started in 99.
Yep.
And I think, I might be wrong, I think it's the fourth longest running
I think it
cartoon
very well
ever.
The longest.
No, it's Simpsons.
Oh, right, yeah.
Cartoon.
30, right.
And as far as kids' show, I believe it's second. Because the first one would be Arthur's been on since like 94, 5. Yeah. So, but we're entering almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's no signs of it stopping.
Yeah, I think it's renewed through 2021.
Well, it's the highest rated show on the network still.
Which is ridiculous. And such a talented voice cast, too. Like, I know Tom Kenny is the voice of Lion-O from Thundercats.
Well, I mean, you've got, is it Mr. Krabs or is it the pirate that's...
Mr. Krabs is the Kurgan.
Yeah, the Kurgan. And then, I mean, the guest stars, like, was it Adam West on there?
Adam West has been on there. Ernest Borgnine was Merman. And just, my wife is
walking
through the room being very odd.
Trying to be, she's penguining through, apparently.
But it was just such an absurd show, but it never failed to make me laugh. One of my favorite bits, and it's such a YouTube meme, and I had to see the original scene because I thought it was fake for years, and I didn't learn it until like last week. Is mayonnaise an instrument? No, Patrick, mayonnaise is not an instrument. Patrick raises his hand again, and neither is horseradish.
Oh God!
It's so stupid.
I remember the only thing I really laughed. I liked the movies. I really laughed.
Oh, yeah,
at those.
The movies are funny.
But again, like I said, my brother was the younger one, so he was born in '93. He was the perfect age. He grew up with this. He was 6 years old when it started. So for me, I was a little older. I was like 12, and I was like, nah, not for me. So anyway, watching it, I did laugh my ass off. There was supposed to be some lost episode or something. I don't even know what episode it is anymore, but it was called the lost episode of SpongeBob or something. Mm-hmm. And somebody goes to watch it, and all it is, they put it on in secret. We're gonna finally reveal what the lost episode was. And it was just some old-timey music playing with SpongeBob walking towards the camera with his arms flailing, dancing. And it's a repeated loop of him walking with the almost on a curvature of the earth sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's walking towards the screen and he's just like do, and the music would start and then he'd wave his arms like 1930s like cartoons. And they did that, it looped like that for 2 minutes, and then it cuts back and the character's like, what the hell is this? And that was, I have to figure out what episode it was, because that clip made me die. I was snorting, I was laughing, I spit up my drink. Because I was like, that was so clever. Like, kids wouldn't get the joke, but it's just like, it was just so over the top.
Oh, yeah. And that's the way that show's going to be remembered, for being over the top, silly, stupid. And it's just harmless enough that it's going to be remembered forever.
Fingers crossed that eventually he makes it into Smash.
Oh, my God. Kirby versus SpongeBob. My God, I'd pay serious money for that. But anyway, that's what we have happen in the weird and wacky news. That's what we most often do. We're going to throw things over to Satan's Pantry and a review this week. So we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we walk down the devil's grocery aisle, in some cases the international aisle of our local grocery stores, to find something unique, weird, and bizarre. And today, Alex, as always, has something coming to us from the Far East. What do we have today?
Well, we have Coca-Cola Clear, which is a limited time, I think for the Cherry Blossom Festival? They had something, it's Japanese.
I couldn't
Japanese
tell you.
Coke. It is zero calories versus Crystal Pepsi was full of calories.
Yeah. Crystal Pepsi was just regular Pepsi.
So this looks clearer than water.
Yeah, honestly, when you first pulled it out, I thought it was empty.
How can clearer than water
be a thing? It looks like distilled water.
It has no English on it except for that it has zero calories.
I see PET on the side.
So I have no idea what it's going to taste like. I think that's a lemon on the front. Is that a lemon peel?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, lemon zest, maybe.
Let's open it up. The bottle looks about the same as what you get here.
Yeah,
the lid,
like
the lid looks a little different.
It's pretty small.
It might be under high pressure, so I'm going to open it very slowly.
If we all die, you know what happened.
Nothing will ever top the durian.
Holy crap.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That was terrifying.
Well, because the top of the cap had been bumped up.
It was really under pressure.
Well, it did come on a boat from Japan. No, plane from Japan.
It's had quite a journey.
Roommate likes to order from Hobby Link Japan, and sometimes they have food there. And this was one of the... Holy crap.
That was quite a pop.
Oh, it scared me.
Yeah, my heart kind of stopped for a second there.
Oh, it's like done.
It's done so, fizzing?
Yeah, I'm just going to take a bit of it here.
All right.
I'm going to reserve my judgment on this.
All right.
I don't want to influence anyone else's judgment on this. We got to do it one at a time. Usually we all have a sample in front of us, but we're kind of going low budget this week.
We're wiping it off and we're all taking a swig.
All right, let's see here.
I know what it tastes like.
To me, I will start. It tastes like when you get from the fountain drink, didn't Coke come with lemon?
Yes, there was a lemon Coke.
Before they had the lime Coke. Mm-hmm. It was lemon Coke. It's lemon Coke when the syrup is starting to go. And like, when I say go, I mean not bad, but when there's less syrup in the machine.
Yeah.
So it's like a watered-down Diet Coke.
There was also, McDonald's had for a while, the machine where you could kind of customize your own drink.
Oh, the Coke Freestyle.
The Coke syrup, and then you could add flavor shots to it, that sort of thing. It's that, but I definitely agree with the watered-down sort of aspect to it. It feels weak.
To me, it tastes like 7-Up with a Coke aftertaste.
Yeah, it definitely shifts.
It does have lemon, though, for sure.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Absolutely. I thought, okay, this is just like Sprite or 7-Up, and then it changed after a moment to have more of a...
Correction, there is English on here, and it just says yes with exclamation point or no exclamation point. I'm assuming they were maybe having a vote on here to if they want to keep it. I like it, considering it is zero calorie and it does have some flavor.
It's actually a lot more than, say, Coke Zero in terms of flavor.
I gotta wonder if it's just sparkling water.
It doesn't have the same... to me, sparkling water has this weird, gross, carbonated aftertaste. This doesn't have that.
It also doesn't have a syrupy taste. It's not as thick as a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Coke always has that thickness, that viscosity, even if it's subtle. And this just doesn't.
I don't dislike it. I would say if it was available here, I'd probably buy it.
Yeah, if you told me I could walk into Walmart right now and buy this for $2 or $3 for a six-pack,
I think this was like $3.
This would be great cold with ice.
Now, it was $3 because when you buy from Hobby Link, you don't have to pay for shipping immediately. You can wait till you hit a certain threshold to get the free shipping.
Hmm.
So you can actually... You buy the items, and you've already paid for them, and they store your cart until you have enough items, so you can wait 2 months before it ships. And my roommate was buying a bunch of I think he bought a Kamen Rider figure and a couple other things, and he goes, "You want this Coke?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then we had to wait probably, I think it was a week and a half. It's not nearly as long as it would be from China. Japan's a lot quicker for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's strange.
And also it didn't fly in to BC. It flew right to Toronto. So I'm wondering, it's probably just a deal they have with... It might have come on a regular Tokyo flight or something.
Yeah.
You know, because Pearson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably was a small...
It actually said in the tracking number Pearson. So it didn't, I guess, go through the normal cargo way or something, whatever. But it was cool. I mean, and you can't get it now. It's sold out. It's done for the year. So.
Well, still, that was an enjoyable Coke product.
Yeah, it was.
I wish it was ice.
I didn't expect it to be weird. I expected it to be just different.
Yeah,
it wasn't designed to be something crazy, wacky, out of this world. Just but something rare. And
instead of Coke Zero or Coke Zero Sugar and Diet Coke, which are the same with a slightly different Splenda or slightly different aspartame formula, I would rather have this as opposed to sugar-free.
Because same here, honestly.
Just have the option to have the classic diet and then have this.
Yeah. So that is our verdict on Coca-Cola Clear. Definitely worth it, actually, if you can find it, though you can't.
Yeah, you might be able to find it imported at some of the soda shops here that do imports, or like candy stores, but you're not going to find it really in your average grocery store.
It didn't make us puke, and that's what matters.
Yes.
So anyway, guys, we're going to throw things back over to Twig, the flags of stupidity. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. But we'll be back right here on Twig.
The Dutch burn! You're cooking in a burnt pan, you fucking dick!
As most of you know, I'm a pretty big RPG fan. I'm the big JRPG fan as far as Twig is concerned. And I also like a lot of the spin-off titles that come out from these Japanese RPGs, particularly anything from Persona. I am a big Persona nut. So when I had the opportunity to review the Endless Night Collection for PS4, I jumped at the chance from Sega. What is the Endless Night Collection, basically? You know, there's two titles that are coming out. There's the Persona 3, Dancing in Moonlight, and Persona 5, Dancing in Starlight. They're released as separate titles, but if you pre-order the special edition when it first comes out or go digital with it, you get them together as one collection. And then also, because you get that collection, they also throw in a Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which is a digital code for a remastered version of the Vita title. It's something that... I'm not usually a big rhythm fan, you know, like as far as playing, like I was not a Guitar Hero guy, but I do like the dancing games where it's just a matter of pressing buttons. Now think Parappa the Rapper. That's sort of how these games play. And what you're doing is you're playing through either a story mode or just playing one-offs where you're playing individual songs that were used or remixes of songs that were used in the RPGs with characters dancing on the screen. And it's a fairly simple get up where you just play as through the storylines that they've put forth for you, and you're just dancing and playing along with the great music that comes with these titles. Persona is known for their fantastic soundtracks, each game sounding a little bit different. For example, Persona 4 was very J-poppy. Persona 5, it has a more jazzy, fusion-infused soundtrack. Think like a Cowboy Bebop style. And there's not much more to say other than it's a very fun rhythm series, and you get a great value when you get this, you know, special edition. You get three separate games with tons of songs to play. All the different characters appear, of your favorites from all those series, and the music is just absolutely fantastic. You know, visuals, these games have always been very stylish, and you know, it's nothing that's going to, you know, tax your system. It's just something that's playing along with think like the Just Dance series, only, you know, button presses more than anything. And it's something that I'm going to say, if you're a fan of the Persona series, you're going to want to pick up. If you're not, I still think this is something that you could get just to introduce you into the rhythm style games. They're pretty much anybody can play them. You don't have to be a JRPG fan. You can play them if you just are, you know, a lover of, you know, Japanese music. And for that alone, I say it's totally worth it.
And that's what we have on the show this week for Twig. Obviously, we're still playing a lot of catch up with things. However, do have a couple of announcements to make. Our annual holiday gift guide will either be coming out on Monday, December 10th, I think it is. I'm just going to double check a calendar here while I'm looking.
Basically 10th or 11th-ish?
Yeah, it'll be out before the 12 days of Christmas. That's how I typically have it planned. The 10th would be the ideal date.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff coming in, but there's a postal strike going on right now.
Yeah, so basically you're going to get a Twitter treasure or two in the next week or so, because basically Canada Post backed up to my door and went, here's like 12 things.
Yeah, here's a bunch of packages we've been holding hostage.
Some of them are dated for the beginning of October.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting them now.
So hopefully we will get this all figured out, and you'll have a lot of content, stuff like that. And then I guess I should announce this. We're going to take our break from December 12th until January 12th. Now, that's not to say there won't be content coming out, but there won't be any more live shows.
We are talking, not a live show, we are talking about doing a
news roundup of the year.
A news year in review, basically, like an like an old school, you know, nerd news, but like a roundup.
Yep, we're going to do
a year end one, and then, you know, we'll wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we'll do maybe a Christmas show talking about our various Christmases.
And you know what, if everything works out, weather permitting and people permitting, we might get a commentary or two out.
Yeah, the idea is I'm planning on doing commentaries on the original Home Alone and the original Die Hard. Those are my Christmas movies.
Okay, and yeah, and I mean, we'll pick something fun, like Santa with muscles or something. Maybe we'll do something cool.
Yeah, yeah, something weird. Something that you guys can also watch on YouTube or something like that. So anyway,
because those were really fun when we were syncing it up to watch on YouTube.
Yeah, so we'll, this you can do with the official Blu-ray or DVD release, but either way, we'll do Home Alone, Die Hard, and Santa with Muscles or something.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, be sure to be keeping it locked to thisweekingeek.net. We should have Turtle Treasures coming out in the next little bit. I am still planning on doing that that botched roll. As of this recording, we should have had 4 or 5 hours recorded for Cambridge Chronicles, which we're hoping to get a bunch in the can before we release them.
Yeah.
So we can catch up, because the weather around here can get quite shitty really, really fast. So getting people together is a bit of a challenge. So anyway, guys, until next time, we have been...
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And as my friend Jackie Bam Bam says, be kind, be cool, be careful. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show... I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
This week in geek psych skills.
Yeah. You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Get ready for This Week in Geek.
Get comfy, grab a seat, some eats, and it's time to break down This Week in Geek. Curious on what's good? Cool. Mike will let you know. Play your game and not stopping until the credits roll. Comic books, DVDs, video games. Rest assured, the interwebs will never be the same. Atari to Xbox, multiple guest spots, top 10 hits, and even the best flops. Missing once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying this because of that when Tommy featured Mega Ran. Listen every week, every day another treat. Search high and low and you'll never find a better geek. TWIG is taking over. They break the rules, we break controllers. Fill your plate, now it's time to eat it up. The ultimate source on all geek media.
Game with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Put it on your iPod.
You're now flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God. Get ready for This Week in Geek.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Your home is important. That's why Geico helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The Geico Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.